And so prior to coming to Lifeway about 12 years ago, I worked in churches for about 35 years in a variety of capacities. I was a youth pastor, an adult education pastor, a minister of education, an executive pastor, and those kinds of things. And so in each of those, I was always involved with helping really kind of train and lead teachers in teaching the Bible in our Bible teaching ministry, like Your Life Bible Study groups that you have here at First Houston. So it's my privilege to be here with you tonight. As I said, I do live over in the Austin area. I'm married. I have one wife, two kids, and one dog. And so I have two young adult daughters. One lives in Austin with her family, with my two grandchildren, ages 4 and 2. And my youngest daughter is single, lives in Atlanta, Georgia. And so I've been looking forward to being here with you tonight, and glad to be able to have an opportunity. So in our conference tonight, we're going to be kind of looking at a variety of things that as you think about leading an adult Bible study class, this conference is focused on a teacher of an adult Bible study class. You can call them a life Bible groups. As far as trying to make plans to be successful in your role. And so that's what we're going to be focusing on tonight. If you need to find another conference that would be perhaps a better fit for you, you're not going to hurt anyone's feelings. So we want to make sure that you make the best use of your time tonight. So you feel free to move in and out as you perhaps might need to. Okay, so I've put up here on the screen, how long have you been a Bible study leader? So at your table, just talk for a brief moment. How long have you been a Bible study leader, and what do you like most about your role? Okay, answer that question at your table just for a brief moment. How long have you been a Bible study leader, and what do you like most about your role?
Being like a substitute teacher, but kind of preparing, you know.
What's that?
I guess it like the fact that
I just started
constantly to get into the Word and to develop a relationship with the Lord, because I want to live what I'm teaching. I want to be a teacher in theory. I want to be a teacher in application.
Well, mine's, it's been a year and a half, but the difference is the depth you get in of studying God's Word to be able to present it, and the difference that makes in me and the insight or God speaking to me, because I'm spending that much time with Him preparing us, and it's just like, I wish everybody, I wish we all did that, because that's what the difference is just spending that time with God and in His Word.
Yeah, I don't know if all of you have had a chance to share, but we'll continue to move forward just for sake of time. So how long have you been a Bible study leader? Long time? Short time?
Short time.
Short time.
Short time? Short time. Awesome. Well, you're in the right place then. That's great. Because if you've been in a long time, I might just let you lead the rest of the conference. Awesome. Okay, so what is it thus far do you like about your role in that you're leading in your class? Margaret, what were you just saying? I heard part of that.
It's the depth that of me getting in God's Word and the preparation. And it's the amount of time I'm spending in God's Word and thus with God that I didn't before. And I just wish the difference it's made in me and what I see in God's Word, because I'm spending that amount of time.
Okay.
And I wish I could get that in the rest of them. Instead of that Saturday night, if they read the lesson,
right,
you know.
Right, okay. Well, in a life Bible study group, an adult Bible study class, there are generally three primary roles that have to be fulfilled. A teacher, that is the person who obviously leads the class into guiding learning experiences. Then there's the shepherd who takes care of the care ministry in a class, and I know that in your program guide tonight, there's a little guide, a couple pages there, kind of gives a guide about how to organize a class to do all those kind of things. The third primary functional role is a leader, person who kind of is responsible to kind of give administrative leadership to keep the mission of the class in focus and on task. And so what we're going to focus on in our conversation here tonight is the role of teacher. And so that's kind of be our launching point. I will tell you some of the material I'm taking from a book, little booklet, if you'd like to learn more, called Three Roles for Guiding Groups. It basically kind of talks about the roles and the responsibilities for each of those three. And then there's there's another little subsequent book called Teacher, Shepherd, and Leader. And so if you're interested in exploring that kind of information some more, then if you'll see one of your adult pastors and ask about the three roles material, they'll know how to guide you to get access to a little bit more in-depth look and study some of that material. So I want to make sure that you are alert to that kind of information. Okay, talking does not equal teaching any more than listening equals learning. So I want you to look on your first handout there on those white pages. Each of you will pick up one of those. So I've reproduced for you just a few pages from this little book that I'm drawing some material from. And on the first page there, at the bottom, you should have a number 12. And I want you to look at that very first paragraph and just take a brief moment and just kind of quickly scan over that first paragraph, reading it to yourself, okay? And then we're going to discuss that for a moment. Excuse me. Okay, hopefully you've been able to read a good portion of that. So talk at your table for a moment. Do you agree or do you disagree with what you have read and why? Why do you agree or disagree with something that you've just read there?
I think there is a word for guiding or it's called coaching.
That's cute. Mm-hmm. That's exactly. But the one your ongoing goal is to guide members to discover and apply the truth. Mm-hmm. And I don't know what kind of setting y'all's. Mine is a small group where we encourage, you know, if you have a thought, come out with it because either you understood it in a different way.
Did you bring these in?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Or,
there's going to be a dialogue.
Yeah, they're good. I had tested those this afternoon.
That we can talk about.
These appeared. I didn't know whether they were coming out. Fantastic. We'll be sure to get those triggered back for you.
The way that you get David Self's notes, you know what I'm talking about. At the end, he has his applications. And those are really biblical truths, you know, to think about. Mm-hmm. But it's also the principles and the deals that, you know, when they're giving you the principles to do too. And I don't know. She and I do BSF together. And so, mm-hmm. But I always star those because I know I'm going to go back to those. Mm-hmm. You know what I've been talking about? Mm-hmm. Because it's more than just a lesson. It's a truth.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, I like, you know, because I've already heard Pastor Mott.
Yeah.
So when I get to Life Bible Study, I want to interact.
Yeah.
You know, I don't want to sit up and hear another lecture. I love the interaction.
Disturbed, and maybe I should just say, I know it's not for me to be in another lecture. Because I agree, I've been to church. I need one where we're talking.
Connecting, yeah. Doing life together.
Yeah.
Like what we're doing now.
Yeah.
I help preschool every second Sunday during the 11 o'clock service. Mm-hmm. They're great ages, I think, 4 through 5. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I wish I could do more, but it feels like I don't do much right now. There. Mm-hmm. I guess, play with them.
You know what? As a
former
preschool teacher, there's probably nothing more better than you could do. Read to them and play with them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that you're spending.
Okay, I'm going to put a question up on the board for you. Just so we can answer this together. So how might acting as a guide benefit both the teacher and the group members? How might acting as a guide benefit both the teacher and the group members?
You can learn from each other.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, what else?
Kind of lessens the, what's the word, like, kind of onus on the person to have all the things to say. You know, when I think about, you know, a pastor standing up there lecturing for 35 minutes, and I'm like, I don't have 35 minutes of things to say without some kind of dialogue coming back.
Okay.
It makes it really easier to teach.
Discussion. But, well, this is...
Also clarifies where everybody is in the room.
So yeah, that's
learn
right.
Learn more about
mm-hmm.
where everybody is and...
And what's important.
Yeah, that's right.
Our different...
Is that, Leon, is that a fair statement to include? That it lessens the need for an expert in the room?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and what was the other thing that was said right here?
Well, it's basically learn from each other.
Okay.
But the thing is, even when you're the teacher, someone else can have a different viewpoint that you just, it
mm-hmm.
just didn't strike you, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And it's not that either of you is wrong. It just gives you more to think about or to broaden the lesson.
Okay. Gives understanding from some different
perspectives. Yeah.
Okay, let me see if this summary helps us a little bit as far as trying to gain some sense of a understanding or definition of a teacher. See what you think about this summary. A teacher is someone who guides group members to study God's Word. The teacher may have a broader knowledge and understanding of the Bible than his group members, but he resists the urge to do a, quote, information dump, end quote,
mm-hmm.
and instead leads his group members to discover truths in God's Word for themselves. Okay, so what did you hear in that kind of resonated with you? What were some words or phrases as I read that, it kind of jumped off my page for you? Anything in particular?
Discover.
Discover?
Because it makes it a personal, you know.
Mm-hmm.
The true learning, it's the personal part.
Okay. Discover.
And Bible truths.
Bible truths. Okay. What else?
Refuses to information dump.
Yes.
yeah.
Now, if you had been in my last session, you'd have been an information dump. This is not going to be that. Well, is that a fair statement, Steve?
It is.
No information dump.
It was hold on to your seats.
Yes. It was like drinking from a fire hose. Okay, so no information to be, anything else?
Just the word guide.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Like that.
Okay. Okay, so those are some key words, some key elements, some key phrases and words. And so we're trying to establish that really to plan for a successful Bible teaching learning experience, what is not needed is necessarily an expert in the room who is maybe a seasoned, tenured Bible scholar teacher. Mm-hmm. All those can be very compelling and very helpful and very challenging, but that's not necessarily required for a successful Bible teaching learning experience. But rather, maybe someone who can serve as a guide to help adults discover Bible truths. So I'm just trying to kind of establish a launching pad here. So when we're talking about an adult Bible teacher, they come in all different sizes and forms and all that sort of thing. But there's not one particular picture of an adult teacher that by itself equates to being a successful adult Bible teacher. They come in all different shapes and sizes, styles, formats, and that sort of thing. But ultimately, irregardless of a teacher's preferred teaching style, somewhere in there needs to be some elements of guiding adults to discover Bible truths. That can be done in a variety of ways. And so as we kind of move on through some more of our time, I want you to think about what your particular style is. What particular approach is a good fit for you? Maybe some ways in your current class that maybe you can give yourself some permission to be comfortable in being who you are and how God has wired you and has developed and skilled you to help other adults, be guided to discover Bible truths. So does that help? Okay. Mm-hmm. So one of the things I'm trying to do right here is I'm trying to help you alleviate the pressure to be the Bible scholar in the room.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, it is important for you to have good Bible knowledge and good Bible understanding, and the more of that you have, the more effective a teacher you can become. But that in and of itself is not the requirement. Okay. All right. So. You'll see right in the middle of that paragraph, there's a sentence that I've pulled up on the screen. It says, talking does not equal teaching any more than listening equals learning. So I want you to underline that in that paragraph, okay? It's about the fifth line down. Underline that line. Talking does not equal teaching any more than listening equals learning.
Mm-hmm.
Really, to be an effective teacher, perhaps I can say it is just as important for you to listen as much as you talk. Did you hear that?
Mm-hmm.
To be an effective teacher, oftentimes you need to listen as much as you talk. Because when you listen, you're giving your learners an opportunity to process what has been said, an opportunity to process their own thoughts about it, and an opportunity for them to then in turn articulate through comments or questions what they've heard and are trying to learn. That's a good learning technique. Okay, any comments or questions about that? Okay, now just as every teacher seems to have a preferred teaching style, every class seems to have a preferred learning style. And so you got to sort that out to kind of figure out what that looks like. Every adult group, depending on their age and other kind of demographics, you can kind of get a better insight and understanding about that. Okay, let's look at the next slide here. I've digressed. Two important relationships for every adult teacher. My relationship with God and my relationship with group members. Now, the first important relationship for an adult teacher is relationship with God. And of course, we all know, if we don't know, let me just say and remind us that when we teach a group of adults, we teach out of the overflow of the devotional life that we personally have with God. I mean, Jesus modeled that for us. We have recorded in Scripture multiple times and ways how that Jesus would go aside alone and spend time with the Father. And so it was, those were important times for him to have time alone with the Father in order for him then in turn to minister to others around him. And the same is true for an adult Bible teacher. That's the most important relationship we have is time alone with God. And then the second one, a teacher's relationship with a group of members. So, let me erase this and make a different list up here. So, if you as an adult Bible teacher were to focus on your relationships with the participants in your class, what would be the advantages of you doing that? Why would you want to do that? What would be some of the benefits of you having relationships with your class members?
You get to know their needs, spiritual and physical. The Lord can direct you on how to minister to them.
To know the needs.
Mm-hmm. Okay. You just connect.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, what else?
Maybe help them participate during the class.
Okay. Now I need to give you this kind of disclaimer here. So I can spell pretty well, and I can breathe pretty well, and I can stand pretty well, but I can't do all three of them at the same time very well sometimes. So if I'm going to not do one of those very well, I'm probably going to misspell some words. So give me some grace, okay? Because I'm going to do my best to not stop breathing or to fall down. So. Okay. To help their participation. Okay, anything else?
It's more genuine. Actually,
yeah.
Does it help you know how to pray for them?
Yes.
Okay. Any other idea you would want to contribute?
It builds trust.
Good, I like that. Builds trust. You learn their life story or stories. Okay, what else? Their backgrounds. Family needs. And we could keep adding some things. But there's a variety of kind of things that are advantageous and are helpful in knowing your class members. Now, how are some ways that you can do that? I changed the colors of marker here. So what are some ways that you could get to know your class participants better?
Listen more than you talk.
All right.
Okay. How does it work to ask open-ended questions?
Mm-hmm. Okay. How about having lunch with folks?
Yeah, I was going to say outside class.
Yeah.
Time outside where you really
can. Or breakfast or whatever. You know, basically, having a meal. Okay. What about phone calls? Text messages, emails, social gatherings. Mm-hmm. So you kind of get the idea. There are some things that we can do practically as a way to systematically get to know the people in our class. And as we do that, then we we accomplish these kind of things, okay? So that's important. So one of the measures of a successful adult Bible study class teacher is how well they know their participants, because it helps inform and guide how they then in turn can guide the teaching learning experience. So there's some elements about relations that are pretty important. Look on page 15. I want to underline about three spots for me. So at the very beginning of that section, it's called relationships, page 13. And I even have my glasses on. Still got them on. 13. Okay, right under that paragraph, under relationships, it says, in the role of the teacher, your most important relationship is the one you enjoy with God. We believe the person who leads a group Bible study should be the best listener. This starts with listening to God through prayer and the study of His Word. Now, then down the next paragraph, the first line. The relationship you enjoy with your group members is also very important. Then skipping down two or three lines, it says, how sad it would be for you to know all about God's Word, but fail to know your group members. Effective leaders know God's Word, and they also know their people. And then you turn the page on page 14, the very top, fourth line down, kind of a summary of what we're trying to communicate here is real teaching requires a relationship. We do not teach in a vacuum or a void. We teach in the context of relationships. Ministry takes place in relationships, through relationships. Real teaching requires a relationship. Now, there's a third relationship that, let's see here, I'm pretty discombobulated. Here it is. There's a third relationship that is also important in the life of an adult Bible teacher, and it's under this section called recruiting. It says another key relationship, this is on page 14, another key relationship, especially if you've got an adult group, is the one you'll have with your apprentice. How many of you in your class you have an apprentice teacher? Any of you have that?
I'm kind of like one of the apprentice teachers.
Good for you. Okay. Awesome.
What do you mean like up and coming?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's probably me.
Okay. Awesome. I love it. As you develop the leadership team in your group, this person is the most important recruit. So you're the number one recruit. Mm-hmm. This is the individual who's going to start the next Bible study group you launch. So what it's trying to convey in this little section here is that of the critical importance of for every adult Bible group teacher to have an apprentice, someone that they've kind of recruited to come alongside them, and they begin to coach and to mentor and to give them opportunities occasionally to teach, to lead, to get some practice, get some feedback, and to begin preparing them and helping them become comfortable and competent, ready to at some point become the teacher of their own class. Okay. Now that apprentice can also serve as another function. They also can serve as a substitute teacher. And oftentimes that's what they are.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay, so now let's talk about resources for a moment, okay? So I've got some R words up here, recruiting resources. Let's talk about resources for a moment. And I'm going to lift up about two or three little highlights here, and then we're going to look at one of your handouts. You have on the table there a little kind of a little yellow, orangish, pumpkin color. What color is that? Pumpkin?
Goldenrod?
Okay, that works for me. I just know it came back from the printer. It came back from the printer, but a different color than what I'd asked for. I didn't know what to call it. So.
No, that's what the paper's called.
Is it goldenrod? I think you're right. I asked for light yellow, kind of a pastel yellow. That's what
you
we got.
You said goldenrod, everybody picked it up, so I guess that's it.
Okay. Okay, so the primary textbook is the Bible. I'm on bottom page 14 going to 15. The primary textbook is the Bible. Whatever characteristics groups may have, they almost all agree that fellowship around the Word of God is the non-negotiable core principle. I mean, come on, folks. After all, we call this adult Bible study, okay? Life Bible study. So we're going to study the Bible, okay? So among other important things that we do, and some unimportant things that we do. We're going to study the Bible, and that's our key component around which we're going to organize our fellowship. And then, right there at the beginning of that next paragraph, we think groups, this is a Lifeway research publication, so we think groups should choose a plan and stick with it. That is the idea behind the word curriculum. It's from the Latin and means a prescribed course. Like an athlete runs on, it helps me to stay in my lane, and it gives me boundaries. Curriculum materials are the expression of a curriculum plan. And your role as teacher, trust a curriculum backed by a wise discipleship plan crafted by experts. Now, I often see adult Bible classes in churches that take a very different approach to this. They take the cafeteria style approach. And it conjures up for me images of a 10-year-old boy when the very first cafeteria came to my hometown. Man, was I excited. And so the first trip we went there, my mama put me on one end of the line, and she said, I'll meet you at the other end of the line to pay out. And so I went in that line, and the 10-year-old boy, what do you think I picked up off the cafeteria line?
Desserts.
All the sweet stuff.
Woo-hoo.
All the desserts. Macaroni and cheese. And so I got out of the line, and what do you think she said? And so I had to go back down the line and start all over again. Because I had made the choices that I wanted that looked good to me, and it wasn't anywhere close to being a healthy meal. And so my mama had to redirect me. And so I see classes oftentimes choosing the things that they study in and about the Bible. They take a cafeteria style approach where they study this topic for a while, then they study this book for a little while because it's somebody's kind of, you know, favorite. Then they go over and study this little series because someone's having a crisis in their life. Then they come back over here because the pastor's preaching a sermon series in that same book. So they just kind of bounce around. And so what happens is they fail to follow a prescribed path, and as a result, they have an imbalanced approach to the content of the parts in the Scripture that they're studying. So we believe that adult Bible groups are better served if they will let curriculum experts kind of craft a discipleship study plan and you kind of follow through that. Now, I know here at First Houston, you have some kind of curriculum plan. You may or may not be aware of it, but tell me kind of what pattern is your particular class following right now for your curriculum plan?
Explore the Bible.
Okay. All right. Somebody else? Anybody doing something other than that?
We're just doing books of the Bible.
But is it the, I mean, where you have the Lifeway, where the teacher has a curriculum and the students have their own study guide?
No.
You just pick
we just go through the books of the Bible.
Okay. So how do you choose those books that you're going to go to next?
I don't know what method the teacher uses. She doesn't use the cafeteria approach where she jumps all around, but you know.
She may be having conversations with somebody else that's helping
with the class leader, yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. They're probably making those choices. Okay. Yeah.
But does everyone in the department do the same thing? I'm just curious.
Preschool has a curriculum.
Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay.
You know,
so
we pick a, like we're doing a study right now, and then we have from the young adults minister down to us said, we want you guys working on this. And so, okay, we'll start this next month after we finish up.
Are you in Brad's ministry?
Yeah.
I've had a lot of conversations with Brad, so I kind of know what he's doing. Yeah. He has a plan.
Yeah, exactly.
It may not look comprehensive to everybody, but he's got a plan.
He does, yeah. And sometimes we're kind of on our own, sometimes we're doing what.
Yeah, awesome. Yeah. Go ahead. So on the goldenrod colored paper that you have, I just wanted for you to be aware that at least from Lifeway's point of view, we have some curriculum plans that have been well thought out. Most of them are based on research that we've done, and we have a panel of experts that have put those together with a lot of work, and we can, you can know that they can doctrinally be trusted as well. But we have some options. We have some different options that are available to classes to pick and choose. So we have Explore the Bible. You mentioned that one. That's kind of a series that kind of goes through different books of the Bible. We have Bible Studies for Life, which follows a a discipleship plan based on some research we've done on different topics and issues that are most highly relevant to a person's disciple development. So that's Bible Studies for Life. Then we have the Gospel Project, which is a kind of a chronological study of the Bible over 3 years that lifts out the kind of the Christ connection in every passage of Scripture all through the Bible. And then we have smallgroup.com, which is a kind of an online, kind of customized kind of plan. So those are some curriculum plans. Those are illustrative of the kinds of things that are available from Lifeway. There are other publishers that produce similar kinds of things. But I wanted you to at least know from Lifeway's point of view, that's kind of an overview chart of some of the kinds of curriculum plans that we have available. Okay? So there's that. Any questions about any of that? Okay, now, so let's talk about the next R. My pointer went away. Let's see if I can find it. It is right. The next R, we talked about recruiting and apprentice. We talked about resources. Let's talk about routines. So you have another handout on your table, and I can definitively tell you it is blue. The blue handout. Okay, so a couple of you, I know at least, have said that you've not been in your role long, and so this may be a particular help to you, because what you have on the blue handout is you basically, I kind of pulled together some information that kind of gives you kind of a bit of a schedule about how to weekly prepare for your Bible class. Teaching for Spiritual Transformation. Step one on Sunday night or on Monday morning. Here are some things that are suggested that you begin early in the week to begin doing. Kind of getting an idea of the general direction of the lesson for the coming Sunday, the background passage, focal passage, the biblical setting, and those kind of things. Begin to kind of pray about what God would have you do with that lesson. Step two, also early in the week, maybe on Monday, Tuesday, you start working through the content of the lesson from a devotional point of view. Again, as Bible teachers, we teach from the overflow of our devotional life with God. And so you begin your preparation for the lesson that you're going to teach devotionally to let God kind of work that lesson in and through your own life personally first. So you begin kind of working through that, reading the Scriptures, letting it speak to you, beginning to kind of read it in different translations, trying to understand the Scripture for yourself and beginning to interact with that personally. There's some other suggestions there about how to analyze the passage, some other suggestions about some other resources to gain deeper understanding. And so that kind of happens Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. And then step three, later in the week, maybe Wednesday or Thursday, hopefully it's not Saturday night, you begin to prepare the lesson. So toward the latter part of the week, you're going to begin to, after you have already kind of worked through the lesson devotionally, you're going to begin to kind of put on paper your ideas about how to present the lesson. You begin using the teaching procedures found in the leader guide, kind of see what other kinds of leader helps you have available to kind of see what ideas that you think would work well for your class, what ideas perhaps would not work well, looking at maybe some other resources there and that sort of thing. Look over on the back page. You start working on developing your outline for the lesson using the teacher plan and leader guide and those other resources. And you're going to be working toward preparing your Bible lesson for Sunday. So how much time do you have to teach a lesson on Sundays? You have 30 minutes? You have 45 minutes? You have an hour? How much time do you have?
45 minutes.
30 minutes.
30 minutes,
45
minutes?
I have an hour.
Okay. So you're different places. So, different settings allow for more or less time. And so the thing I'd say about that is to do your best to honor the time that you've been allowed. And, don't make others suffer because you want to go longer. So do your best with that. So you want to try to put together an outline of see how your lesson would flow, logically flow through the time that you have. And then you begin thinking about the different teaching methods that perhaps would be of help to you in presenting that content. Remember, we're trying to avoid, I've already erased it now, I wrote a very important, right there, no information dump. So you want to think about ways that you can engage your learners in a learning experience that doesn't require you to stand and you know, lecture for your hour. So I'm sure you're a very nice person, but I would not want to listen to you stand up and lecture for an hour.
I wouldn't want to stand for that.
So now you've noticed tonight, I've sat for a while, I've stood at the board for a while, I've stood here for a while, I've come over here for a while, and so all that's hopefully to try to, at almost 10 o'clock now, to keep all of us awake. And so the same thing applies on Sunday mornings. So you need to kind of pay attention to, you know, what you're doing there with some intentionality. And then consider the possible, number three there, consider possible ways to organize your plan for teaching. Now, here are some very important parts of every lesson. Create readiness to learn, examine and apply the scripture, continue the lesson for accountability, and encourage life change because of biblical truth. I would say to you, every Bible lesson should include those four elements. Every Bible lesson should include those four elements. Then the step four and the final one is leading your group to continue Bible study after the class session for ministry, evangelism, and fellowship. And there's some ideas there about how to end your class. I would really highly discourage you from finishing your Bible lesson and say, okay, folks, thanks for being here. This break, go. Well, you have an opportunity to be able to coach and to challenge your folks for further learning and further follow-up and follow-through after the class lesson. So here are some ways that you can do that. You want to try to, as best as possible, connect the group Bible learning experience with your participant's individual time of Bible reading and Bible study. Link those together. Okay. Lifeway has some resources called the Daily Discipleship Guide that pretty easily does that. So another shameless commercial there for you. All right. So there's how to prepare. Any questions about that? So if you didn't do anything tonight, from my opinion is, if you didn't do anything tonight but to walk in a room, pick up the blue page, and leave, it would have been worth your effort driving from wherever you live down here tonight. Mm-hmm. As an adult Bible teacher, this can really be a great help to you. I think so much about the blue handout. Okay? Very closely akin to it is its cousin, the green handout. Okay? And so, rather than kind of going through a dialogue and kind of discussion about it, let me just kind of tell you what this green handout is, and then, because we only have about 8 minutes left. Okay, so one of the things that we see in the scriptures is how Jesus modeled how to teach. In fact, on page, it's not on that page, it's on this page. Here it is right here. Okay. I don't remember where I wrote the note now, but we see from scriptures how that Jesus, sometimes he taught using illustrations. Sometimes he used object lessons. Sometimes he used life circumstances. He used personalities. He used a variety of ways to communicate biblical truth. And so just as Jesus did that, we need to pay attention to how that we can capture participants' learning styles, their life needs, and their life interests by using different learning methods. And so if you use the same teaching method consistently every week, then your folks will become very comfortable and expect you to do that every week. But they learn differently, and so we need to use different approaches to how we teach, different kind of learning activities. So here are some ideas for you to consider. The worst teaching method that you could ever possibly use is the same one every week. And so if you have a variety of teaching methods, you will raise the level of learning among your participants. Some of the folks who learn differently from one another, you'll capture their attention, and you'll have a more successful teaching learning experience. Planning for success includes planning to use a variety of teaching methods. So here are some suggestions for you. The first one, logical learners. There are some characteristics of logical learners and some different methods that you can use. Next page, musical learners. There are some characteristics. There are some methods. You know, one of my favorite teaching methods for a class is to periodically just to play or to read aloud or sing together in class an old gospel hymn. And then use that to illustrate some points of really rich, deep historical theology. Because people emotionally connect with music. And so if you have some folks who have seemed to be somewhat disengaged with your class, find some ways to emotionally engage them through music. Okay? Natural learners, that's a great way to use object lessons and those kind of things. Then you've got physical learners. Some folks like, they just really need to touch and feel and be active. You've got reflective learners, where they're able just to kind of think and write and to be reflective in that way. You've got relational learners that just love to work in teams and to do learning discovery in teams at tables. Verbal learners, brainstorming and that sort of thing. One of the things that I would encourage you to do, I would challenge you to do, is that this coming next week or maybe the weeks to come, is to find at least one of these that you would be willing to try. Don't do eight. Just do one. And see if you can begin to, over time, weave into your lesson planning some different methods of teaching that perhaps you have not typically used or maybe even feel the most comfortable with. One of the things I have observed is that in most curriculum plans, in the suggested teaching plans that are provided, there are usually a few various kinds of teaching suggestions that are given using different teaching methods. So your temptation may have been to skip all those and just kind of do the same thing you do normally all the time anyway. I'd encourage you to try some of those. Just try it. And it may not feel comfortable to you at first, but there are probably some people in your class that probably would enjoy those. Now there'll probably be some people who probably would be hesitant about trying those too, but you have to lead the way and help them do that. So I have on occasion, I don't necessarily recommend this anymore, I have on occasion had a group of senior adults pull all their chairs back and put tear sheets and markers on the floor and have them draw pictures. So that was a little bit of a stretch. So I've learned better since then. So maybe I need to do that on top of the table instead of the floor. That wasn't a very good move. But I learned. Okay, and then you have a pink handout. So this is a bit of a reflective moment. We have about 60 seconds to do this. So I want you to think about, okay, so we've talked about a variety of things tonight. You may have think that, we've been kind of scattered and hodgepodge and kind of all over the map, and to a certain extent maybe so, but not. We've been trying to follow a path about trying to identify some elements that can help you be successful as an adult Bible teacher to help guide your participants to discover biblical truths. And there's different ways we can do that. So here, you got on your page right there. And I took Belinda's, so I'm going to give her one back. So take a moment and just jot down. Read the questions there and just jot down a response. Steve's going to call time and then I'm going to pray.
thank you. That was a really, it sort of opened up the, to something more.
Great.
Break the log jam.
Hope so.
That was really good.
Hope so. Thank you, Steve. Let me pray with you, okay? You know, one of the things I have believed for a long, long time, there is no more trusted role or responsibility in the life of any church than an adult Bible teacher. No one knows what you're teaching in that class, but they're trusting you to really help your participants discover biblical truths on their own, make application of those in their life, and as a result be transformed spiritually. That's an awesome opportunity that we have, an awesome challenge that we have, an awesome, really thing to pursue. So thank you for your willingness to let God do that through your life. I want to pray for you. Let's pray. Father, thank you for our time together tonight. In these few moments, Father, as we've done a variety of things, I just pray that you'll take our time together and spur some additional thinking about how that perhaps we can be used by you to successfully plan and prepare our adult Bible teaching in these groups that are represented here tonight, with the end goal being spiritual transformation in the lives of the participants. And I pray that by your grace, by your strength, by your insight, these leaders tonight will be used by you to do that very thing for your glory's sake. And I pray in your name. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you so much. You're welcome.
Thank you.
If you have someone that you would like to take a copy of these handouts to, we should have plenty, so feel free to do that.